just look in the second chapter. I want to kind of summarize what we've heard today. And of course, these testimonies, they pointed toward one thing. First of all, that individuals, men, women, boys, girls, young people, old people, they need Jesus Christ. I think we've heard this in each and every one of the testimonies. You need Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for, to preach to you Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good message that he has for us, that he died, that he went to the grave, and that he arose, that through him you might have life. And then, following that, the Christian life. You say, a life that must be lived to the honor and glory of God, to be any good or of any account. And the Apostle Paul has summarized it for us in the second chapter. And of course, he is, first of all, addressing a church. See, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. And of course, these are church truths. And he says in verse number 1, and you have he quickened, in other words, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's talking about church people. Before they met the Lord, they were dead. They were under the bondage of sin and transgressing against God, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, right here is the condition of a lost man. And each and every one was in that condition before we met the Lord.
Amen.
We all know that we were saved from that, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. In other words, that word conversation talks about our life. We live that kind of life in the world, that lifestyle that is so popular in the world, but not very popular with the Lord, because he says it won't go. And the apostle goes on and says, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So the lost man, the lost woman, the lost boy, the lost girl, they are by nature children of wrath. The only thing they can look forward to is the condemnation of God. Judged already, as John puts it in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, condemned under the sentence of death. But then we have the source and the purpose of eternal redemption, because we have hope now, because the Lord, he can do something for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, even while we were dead in sin, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. You know, Jesus didn't come in order to regenerate the righteous, or call the righteous, or to do something with those who thought that they were all right already, like the Pharisees, the Sadducees. No, he came in order that he might call and search out and seek sinners. Those that were dead in trespasses and sins, he has loved us and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Didn't you just feel when you were saved that you were sitting in some glorious place?
Amen.
You know, I can remember the night that I was saved, and really, as far as I can remember, I only said two things. I said, Lord, help me and save me. I didn't know any theology. You know, nowadays we are trying to make theologians out of people before we get them saved.
Amen.
The Lord has never yet saved a theologian. You know what kind of people he saved? When people come to the end of the road, look up.
Amen.
And say, Lord, have mercy. That's when a person gets saved. You see, boy, I felt good. That's all I said. But I knew that I was saved that very minute, that very second, that I looked to the Lord. Yes, He made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The Lord wants us to have something and to show us something in the eternal ages to come. You know, talking about the far out things of Star Trek. Goodness gracious, people. Those people don't even know what's out there.
Amen.
The Lord's going to show me things that man has never imagined. Goodness, the riches and the glory that will await me when Jesus comes.
Amen.
It's marvelous. You know, even that old devil before he fell, you know, he walked upon this earth in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. We are told that precious stones were just lying around. Gold right there in the open. It was glorious. And you know, we're going to be walking in a universe that will be more glorious. Because it shall be regenerated afar, reconstituted with a new law of God that no more sin in any way, form, or shape can reign.
Amen. Praise God.
And the Lord wants to show us that. The eternal ages come. That's beyond my comprehension. But I know one thing, it's going to be good.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to be good. Then verse number 8. Of course, we know, many of us know this verse by heart. How are men saved? I want you to follow this very closely. If you've never been asking the Lord, Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me. Right here is a very simple way. The Lord tells us how to be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Simple, isn't it? You know, grace, unmerited favor. Through the unmerited favor we are saved when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the jailer, he asked Paul and Silas, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't go down there and say, now you're going to have to learn this and learn that and you know this and you accept that. No, that jailer, he just wanted his life saved.
Amen.
And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And guess what happened? He was saved and his whole household because he went home and told his family about it.
Amen.
And they accepted the Lord. I tell you, people, when the Lord meets an individual, something will happen.
Amen.
I just don't believe in this kind of malarkey that somebody can get saved and then just act like did before. I just don't believe it. The Bible don't teach it. Men do, but the Bible don't. Bible tells me that when a man, when a woman, when a boy or a girl meets the Lord, there will be a newness. Because there's a new creature. You're going to see something. Amen. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
That not of yourselves. We don't save ourselves. Not a single one this evening that testified, or the rest of the day, I didn't hear a single one say that they saved themselves. Well, because we don't save ourselves. You see, the Lord does. Yes, not of ourselves, of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We don't even deserve it, and yet the Lord gives it to us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not nothing that we can do in order to make us acceptable to God. You know, this Brother Ford, I've heard a lot about him. Was a good man. There were other great men like him. Some greater, some lesser. You see, the works of men never save a single soul. Now, some of you good people, you build this church from the ground up. Your works didn't save a single soul. You did it because you were saved. Not in order to get saved. Because you were saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about. Because when we have done all, we look upon our works and say, I am an unprofitable servant. Because what I do, it's just expected. Amen, people. It's just expected. The best that we do, the Lord outdoes us every time. Then verse number 10. You know, right here's the verse that is the result of that salvation. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, the Lord says right here through the Apostle Paul that we are saved in order to do good works. I tell you, I just don't see no place in the Bible where it says the Lord saves just for the sake of saving. Or the hyper evangelist says, oh, just get him saved! Just get him saved! Just get him saved! That's it! We are created in him unto good works.
Amen.
That's why we are saved, to glorify God.
Amen.
You know, if that's all there was to it, just getting saved, why didn't the Lord kill us as soon as he saved us?
Amen.
We'd be a lot better off. I wouldn't get in trouble then. You know, if he had killed me the night I was saved, why, all those wicked things I did since then, I wouldn't have done it. You see, wouldn't have had the opportunity. But you see, he saved me in order that I might perform good works for his glory. That's why he saved me. That's why he left me here. Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God tells us that we are to walk. We could go on and on. You see, I just want to skip quite a few verses and go to the end of verse number chapter 3. Right, two verses. Walking unto good works entails this. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or thank, according to the power that worketh in us. People, he has created us to do good works, but he supplies the power.
Amen.
Amen. That's why God's people, there is no reason to have a defeatist attitude. Because we can do all things in Christ Jesus. Goodness, the Lord says that with man it is impossible, but nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
You try the Lord, you put it on his shoulders, and he'll do it. Ask, and he'll give it. So the Lord gives us the power. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. You see, that's why he wants us to walk in good works, in his church. You know, today, I even hate to say these type of things, but no, today there's a lot of missionary Baptists who say you can glorify God in many other ways besides his church. Now, that is ungodly. Because right here we are told that we are to glorify him in his church. You know, if the Lord wanted us to glorify him in some other place, why did he die for his church? There's no organization on the face of the earth that the blood of Christ was shed for.
Amen.
Except his church.
Amen.
He wants us to work in his church and glorify him in his church. That is a divine institution, his church. Now we say we love the church, that's fine. People, we have to prove the Bible.
Amen.
We love the church. Under him be glory in his church. By Christ Jesus. You know that word by right here in the Greek language? In Christ Jesus. We can do nothing, not even glorify God in his church, outside of Christ. Everything is performed in Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. Take our lives and give it to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever you want out of my life, you want. Now that is dedication.
Amen.
That is consecration. And that is faithfulness. See, a lot of people think they're faithful to God. Never available to serve the Lord. And I tell you people, consecration, dedication, faithfulness, and all the rest that entails the Christian life is proven by your availability for the cause of Christ. You can say all year long how much you love the church. If you're never available to do anything for the Lord, I doubt the truth of what you're saying. Amen. I mean that. For the Lord, he has given us something here. First of all, salvation. Now, there's no reason at all why any person should leave this house. Only a fool would brush aside an ark of safety, any device to save your physical life. Any man dying or drowning, he will grab at anything to preserve his physical life. And the Lord, he is that only means to spiritual life. Why not accept him? No reason at all why you should leave this place a lost individual. You can leave your sake. And then there's no reason why any individual should leave these premises without giving his or her life in the Lord's service in his church. No reason. Then as a church member, there's no reason at all why each church member that is present here tonight shouldn't from this day on say, Lord, I'm really going to become available to account for your cause. You see, you make yourself available for every other time. But make yourself available for the cause of Christ. Because that is what will meet you. All the rest of it, it'll pass away. temporal things, they're gone, people. Goodness, when the Lord comes, I'm going to shout hallelujah.
Amen.
And the thoughts out there is going to poof. And I'm going to say hallelujah. You know, right now I would cry. Because my kids say, that's my little toy. But when the Lord comes, that's all gone. Goodness, people, everything that I own is gone. For the real things that I own, they're in heaven.
Amen.
So I'll be more concerned about building a bank account with the Lord than building temporal things. Tonight's a good time before you get started. Amen. Salvation, church membership, faithfulness. That's what the Lord has in store for each one of you. It's up to you. And as we have an invitational song, invite you to accept the Lord as your personal Savior and to follow Him in baptism, join His church, and worship Jesus Christ. Upon you.